Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, October 3rd, 2007. The only October 3rd, 2007 in the history of humanity. Let us choose to make it the best one possible. You obviously have made that choice because you are logging on to Glenn Klein Online on this Wednesday, and you could not have made a better decision. And even if you are not listening live, you're listening on the webcast on whatever day you are, and you've made a great decision too. Because what we do on Wednesday night, each and every Wednesday night, is we encourage you in the grace of God. And nobody does it better than the man that is now seated in his brand new office space in beautiful Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Yes!
How exciting is that? New office space.
It's very exciting. I'm sitting in my office chair, just rocking back and forth, and here at my desk, and all of my duplicating and equipment and supplies over in the other corner, and a nice little window here out to the street. I wish I could tell you I was on the 40th floor, but it's just the second one, so.
And what is your view of?
A street in a parking lot.
The paved paradise put in, yeah, a parking lot.
They sure did. But it's very, very nice inside my office, that's for sure.
This is the new office space for the Freedom Worship Center that Michael is on staff as the teacher of that facility and that institution. And as many of you beautiful humans have been waiting to hear, because you're waiting on your CDs or your DVDs, the duplicating equipment has arrived, is now set up, and any day now, Michael, you'll be cranking those out, and people should have that stuff within the next couple of weeks, right?
Yes, it is functioning. We are producing the CDs now. It's just the process of putting them together. We don't have a full-time employee on it, so it will still take a couple of days, but the end is near, and then from there on in, boy, when you get CD orders in, you know you're not, the turnaround time is going to be less than 2 weeks, so we're looking forward to that.
The end is near. Sounds like
the end is near.
Sounds like an evangelical Christian program.
Yes, absolutely.
No, actually, this is Glenn Klein Online, the Gospel Revolution. We are the anti-evangelical Christian program. We're not anti-evangelical Christian people. But we are very anti the doctrine and the dogma that keeps people in legalism and bondage. And we are very pro-gospel, very pro-Jesus. The gospel actually means good news. And as Michael has often said, if there's any bad news in that message, it ain't the gospel. Right, Mike?
That's exactly it. It's not a gospel. There's no bad news in the good news. Yes.
We want to encourage you tonight to participate in this webcast. Our toll-free line is available. The world-renowned at this point, Patrick L. Jones, is waiting to take your calls on the toll-free at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, and we'd love to hear from you tonight live. We got emails rocking and rolling. And so please give us a call, 1-800-436-3260, or get in your emails at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We're going to try to get to all of those this evening. We got a bunch. But before we do get to the emails, Michael, we want to have a special shout-out to our good friend Richard Mull in beautiful California, and
yes,
who recently celebrated a birthday. So happy.
Yes, he did. It was the last month, but we're a little slow, but it's kind of like getting out CDs. We've been slow at everything, but to change very soon, for sure.
Well, a belated happy birthday, Richard.
Yes.
How old is that guy?
Richard is now 62 years old. I don't know if he wanted me to tell him how young he is, but a beautiful 62-year-old man,
well,
for sure.
Well, 62 is the new 42.
Yes. Well, that made me 32 then, right?
Well, Michael, in your case, 31 and a half.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I always look to you for encouragement, Glenn.
That's what I do. I am your coach for life.
Yes, you are.
And Richard, for his birthday, gave us a present by increasing his monthly giving from 125 a month to 150, which makes a huge difference.
Oh my gosh. Huge difference for us, that's for sure, in our yearly budget. And for those of you that have considered the thought that what you could do and make a difference, but I tell you what, when you become partnered, and I think it really is a partnership, you know, it's a financial partnership to get the gospel out. And when you do that, you've got to realize that on a yearly basis, we function on a yearly budget. So, and what you can do in a year's time is just amazing. It just it can absolutely make the difference for sure.
And for those of you that are monthly contributors, we want to, as always, extend our thanks to you.
Yes.
And encourage you to keep up with those monthly gifts. And also encourage those that are not giving on a monthly basis. It doesn't make a difference what the amount is. It's the effort and the intention that's important. Mm-hmm. You just go to the website at gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and just rock and roll with that. And it's a PayPal situation. You can do that. If you want to send checks on a monthly basis, the P.O. Box address is also at gospelrevolution.com. When you're sending checks outside the United States, please include USF by the total, which stands for United States.
Now, wait just a minute. Wait a minute, Glenn. We can do that with other people, but now the Canadian dollar is stronger than the U.S. dollar, so we want them to keep it Canadian funds.
I just saw something on the news about that today.
Yeah, how about that?
All right.
It still does cost. It costs us to have them converted, so it is better to put USF on it.
Speaking of...
I just had to acknowledge the Canadians. I mean, this has been since, what, back in the 70s that it was this way?
Yeah, they had a whole thing on the news about how Canadians are coming over here now because the dollar's...
I know.
Which is awesome.
Yes. Well, it is awesome, but I want them to be there when I get there, so they better go home.
Speaking of which, Michael will be in Calgary in November 9th. And again, all the information is at the gospelrevolution.com webpage. And following the Canadian trip, Michael will be in central Wisconsin in beautiful Marshfield with our friend Pep Washburn. And
yes,
you can get that information as well on the website. So everybody in the upper Midwest or wherever you'd like to come from, or in Canada, please be apprised of those meetings and let us know that you're coming. And although that's not necessary, it's nice for the folks to know. So just give them a call. The contact phone numbers and email addresses are on the website.
Yes, they won't want to miss this year because this will be the first meeting that Mike Williams has showed up with his pastor at anything. So,
in Canada, John's going with you, eh?
Yes, John's going, and he'll be sharing some of his insights, and so we'll be having a good time.
Yeah, you will, folks. Cannot highly recommend that enough. John is a great expositor of the gospel, and also is funny as hell, so you're definitely going to want to enjoy his company as well as Michael's, as always. But speaking about being connected, we've got this email that came to us from Muncie, Indiana, from PJ, and he says, Mike and Glenn, what can be done about people getting connected? One of the things that my wife and I miss greatly since leaving the church is gathering to worship and fellowship together. We understand that the church is not a requirement, and we are glad to be freed from the religion of the church, but we miss Sunday morning at church. We miss the fellowship and the learning and the teaching and all the good things that came from getting together on Sunday. Some not-so-good things came too, PJ. But nonetheless, he noticed that we read a letter from a woman in Noblesville, Indiana, which is just 30 minutes from
yep.
where PJ lives in Muncie. And Cliff Hazelbaker, of course, is 30 minutes from him in Richmond. He says, there has to be more believers closer to me than who would be interested in starting something.
Yeah.
What can we do? So this is from PJ. All right, here's what we do, PJ. Now, again, so that you folks know that finally we do follow through on things, we had this program called the GRIP program, and we've been talking about reactivating it. Well, the GRIP program has been reactivated, but it's been replaced by a program that we're calling the Champions of Grace. And if you will go on to the aforementioned gospelrevolution.com website, you will see it right at the top of the homepage. And the Champions of Grace is a threefold, actually a fourfold opportunity for you. First of all, we're looking for people to become what we're calling Champions of Grace or Gospel Revolution Champions. And there's an email address right there. You just click on Champions of Grace, and then it says, please email us and let us know you'd like to be a contact person that could help us organize meetings and get-togethers and information going out to your region, wherever you live, around the world. So that's the champion for the Gospel Revolution. Then, if you don't want to do that, but you just want to have your name in the mix, and so that we know that you're there in a particular area, there's information to fill out, and it's up there right now. You can go on there right now and just fill out the information, and then we'll be in contact when Michael is in your area or when other things are happening that are gospel related. And then we are going to have a message board or a chat room that's going to be coming. That's something that we'll talk about later. And the fourth thing is there's a link to John Adair's Champion of Grace website that, as John spoke about last week, and if you didn't hear that, you can listen to the archive from the September 26th broadcast, which describes the Champions of Grace program, which basically is an opportunity for those of you who either desire or who need ministry credentials for what you're doing in your area, and that allows you to have a tax-exempt status with the 501c3 with Champions of Grace. So that's all at Champions of Grace, and just click on the gospelrevolution.com website, and you'll see it right there. And so the answer to PJ's question, Michael, is there is going to be many opportunities and much information. We're moving this thing forward slowly but ever so surely. And, you know, you got to crawl before you walk, and you got to walk before you run. And we're doing it with, as you beautiful humans that have been following this effort and this webcast for a while. And by the way, happy anniversary to you, Michael. This is our year anniversary tonight for awesome. The webcast. Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
How about that?
We've been doing this for a year. It's hard to believe it's been a year already.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We need some party balloons or something. Yay!
some champagne, perhaps.
Yes. All I've got here is Ozark water.
Well, I'm having a Bud Light, so.
Cool.
Anyway, this is our year anniversary. We've been doing this for 1 year. So my point is, for those of you who've been following this for a while or listening, know that we have been struggling financially. And all this stuff takes money. And so when we do these pledge drives, it's hugely important for you to participate in that. But as the money has come in, we're moving this thing along. Michael's out there more. He speaks, if he's not on the road, he's speaking at the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, which again, there's information on the website about on the homepage. We've got the Champions of Grace program up and running. So this thing is happening, Michael. And I mean, you think about a year ago when we just were starting this thing, you hadn't even moved to Houston yet. You certainly had not reconnected with John Adair. You weren't the teacher at the Freedom Worship Center. And so this is exciting stuff.
It is. It's very exciting. And I think that this is exactly what everyone has been waiting for who's had that amazing transformation in their hearts to the gospel, away from the legalism that we all were trapped in, and have embraced a gospel that embraces them. And it's just going to be tremendous to walk this out now. And that's what we really want people to do, is understand the reason we're doing this is so we can now walk together. This isn't for any other cause. There's no hidden agendas. I think people have known me long enough. I've proven myself that there's, you know, even pertaining to the giving, there are no hidden agendas. You know, if somebody thinks that we've got a hidden agenda, as John says, give you money someplace else, but for God's sake, for your sake, be a giver. And but it is a vitally important part of our existence in this planet, just as human beings and people who know that they're redeemed and really want to share the grace of God with other people. And organization. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and they were questioning, had questions about us organizing like this, and they thought, well, you know, gosh, is this just becoming another thing like it was? And I assured them that it wasn't, because there's a difference between an organization designed to control and an organization designed to support. And there will be no control from these things that we are establishing to help people reach out to others. We are strictly here as a support for that. And this amalgamation between John and I, after these years of us both growing together in the gospel for so long and then going our own ways and then continuing to grow in the gospel and then coming back together after a few years of being disconnected from each other, really is, and him in the role of a pastor, the only, there are others, but he is the pastor that I was connected with before all of, as my last pastor 12 years ago, I suppose. And now for us to be connected together, and I think there is the role of the pastor, and just as well as there's the role of the teacher, and we're wanting to just begin to share these things and the ministry and ministries that we truly do believe that God has put into individuals, whether at birth or before time began, is irrelevant. But we know that everyone on this planet is gifted by God, and we believe that supporting that gift and being an encouragement to the qualities that God has put in someone, it is not a thing to take lightly when we realize that everyone within the sound of my voice and beyond has very special giftings. And I believe that with all my heart. They can do things I could never do. And there's things that people acknowledge that I do better than anybody they've ever seen. But we have to acknowledge that those things are things that are planted inside of us and that they're just a part of us. And what we want to do is help draw those things out of each and every person. And if need be, help them identify what that is, because so many times what is so naturally a part of you, you don't see as supernatural. You don't see as a gift. It's just a part of you. Therefore, it doesn't get used very well. And so that's all part of it. We want to help people and support them in their efforts in sharing this gospel with other people. So the difference is in the organization. Yes, we are organizing, but we are organizing to support. There is no organizing to control.
Well, and I can understand how people would be skeptical about that comment, because I certainly would have been. And, you know, frankly, I'm amazed that there could be possibly an organization that would actually do that, given our history, given what we've experienced in the church. And we've talked about this on past webcasts, Michael, but there's something, it takes a time for people who have been hurt in churchianity and Christianity and in legalism and have been controlled and been spiritually abused to start being able to gather back together and worship together and even be part of an organization because of what's happened in their lives, and we understand that. So wherever you're at, ladies and gentlemen, just stay logged in and stay tuned, and if you feel comfortable being part of it. I mean, here's the thing, and this is what John said on the last webcast, is that we don't care what people believe. There's varying views on so many things, and you've heard Michael and I dialogue about some of our differences as far as external or things that are not gospel-related. They're interesting to talk about, and everybody has their own perspective. Everybody sees things a different way. But the only thing that John is asking, if you want to be part of this Champions of Grace minister's license deal, is that you agree that Jesus redeemed the whole world. I mean, that's it. And that Jesus did exactly what the Bible said he did, which was to take away the sin of the entire world, regardless of belief, regardless of position, regardless of behavior, that blood that was poured out on Golgotha, Golgotha's secret, if you will, to coin a phrase, that's it. That's the nature of the agreement. We don't care if you how you pray, if you pray, if you go to church, if you tithe, if anything like that, right, Michael? I mean, it's just
absolutely.
And
these are, like we say, that I think that the point that has been really placed in my heart to share with people is that the gospel we share is relating to people what the scriptures, through the death, burial, and resurrection, reveal is God's view and opinion of individuals and of the human race. And that is what we have this common belief in, is that we agree with what God's view is about us and those around us.
Right.
When it comes to our own views about God, they are as varied and many as there are humans on the planet, because that's going to be based on experience and or lack of. It's you know, where you were born, what family you were in. It's just, there's so many variables, and it is a personal experience. And just because you had an experience that I don't have, does not mean that you're more spiritual than I am, or that I'm more spiritual than you, or it's just we have different views about those things.
And different experiences and different
Absolutely.
Perspectives.
Absolutely.
That's such a huge distinction, Michael. There's we have an agreement, a 100% ironclad agreement about how God views us.
Absolutely.
How we view God and how we interrelate with God, as you say, that's all over the board. And
that is a personal thing.
And those are the things that really normally separate people.
Yes.
And even the fact of how they view how God views us.
And yes, that's the big divider right there. You can't see that the only thing that's caused us to be able to accept other people's views of God is because we did come to a revelation of what God's view of us and others really is. And when you divide on that point, you're divided on everything about spirituality. And it's a madhouse. You know, you know, there's well over 5,000 Christian denominations out there, and that's denominations, not churches.
I think it's more like 50,000, but
it's an absurd number, whatever it is. It's big and growing, that's for sure. And but it is growing, you know, every pretty much every week of the year, still yet, you know, that people are creating brand new denominations. So, but we have a great deal of comfort in being able to move forward now. And I think that this is where us who are established in grace now really get to test this grace. And it's not that we have found people that we all agree with each other's view and opinion of God. We have found people that we have come to agree what God's view and opinion is of us and others.
And
that really is a very powerful thing. It is so freeing. It helps me to drop my defenses that just because you view something about God or believe something about God, if you believe in tongues or don't believe in tongues, if you believe in healing or don't believe in healing, you know, if you believe in baptism or don't believe in baptism, the only place that we would ever, ever speak up concerning these things is if they were done trying to change God's view and opinion.
Right.
And otherwise, I mean, you know, John and I had a lengthy conversation today at Sonic, and we were sitting outside at the drive-in, and
You were at Sonic?
Yes, we were.
Oh, I can't fellowship with you guys anymore. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost?
You're a non-Masonic, huh?
Yeah, I used to be a Masonic.
So, excuse me, but this was one of the areas that we were covering, you know, and it just, and I find it very healthy for myself to remind myself, you know, what is the unity of the faith? The unity of the faith, Glenn, is not when all of us agree about what we think about God. The unity of the faith, it's the unity of the faith of God. It's the unity of believing what God's faith has accomplished, not our faith. it's not that every human being is going to have the same view of God, but there really is no reason why every human on the planet cannot know that they are righteous and holy before God. And they should know. It's you talk about a right, it is your right to know and to be able to understand that regardless of your experience or your condition in life, that in God's eyes, you are absolutely holy, perfect, righteous, without fault, without blemish, without blame, and that you have imputed into you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That we have this great treasure in earthen vessels, and in him, of him, through him, and to him are all things, and you are in him, and he is in you, and you are inseparable. And there is no division. There's no division. Even though we get in strife with other people, there is no division between us. We're all exactly the same. Now, the strife comes because we can't accept other people's views of God. But the fact of it is that there can't be a true schism between us because we're all alike in the eyes of God. We're all holy. We're all righteous. There's just the same as under the law, as the prophets declared, there is none righteous, no, not one. I can boldly say after the cross, there is none unrighteous, no, not one.
Exactly. And any perceived schism between us as human beings and us and God is strictly a misperception.
Absolutely.
Just because somebody feels estranged from God doesn't mean they are.
Yeah.
And just because somebody is torqued off at somebody else and feels a schism, whether it be in a personal relationship or between nations, doesn't mean it's right. As far as
Absolutely.
God is concerned, we are one family and God's our Father. It doesn't make a difference where you live, what you believe or don't believe. That's just the truth.
Absolutely, and that is the truth that we're wanting to establish, and God has already established that truth in the earth. We just want the privilege and the awesome, awesome privilege of being able to share it with this planet, and that's what my life is committed to. That's what my goal is to spend the rest of my life sharing this gospel with this planet in any way that I possibly can, any venue that I possibly can, and garner as much support doing it and inspire others to do it as we go.
And we're finding that to be true. I mean, we have been told many times that this message of the unity of the faith of God for all human beings, the way it's being articulated, has come through you, Michael. But a lot of people now, are picking up on it. And
yes.
it's interesting to note that some of the phraseology and the ways that you term things is being parroted right back at us, and we love it. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yes. No, it doesn't make any difference to me where it comes from, or, you know, people say, well, doesn't it make you mad when they use your stuff and then they don't give you credit? It's like, no, it doesn't. That's one of the greatest compliments that I could ever have. Is it, you know, my heart's content with just knowing that, you know, they've received this great message. Who knows? Maybe they got it revealed to them in their heart exactly the way I say it without me saying it to them. I don't know. But we definitely are seeing that happen, and it's happening around the globe in languages that I personally don't even know about. We've gotten reports over this last couple of years of tremendous things happening. You know, and our new friend in Hong Kong that is listening and supporting. It's like, you know, that is such a treasure, you know, and you know, sure enough, I checked on the our PayPal list, and a friend in Hong Kong who contributed $500 and then wanted to give $200 a month, and so actually I logged into PayPal, and it was actually September the 30th, and I noticed that his contribution had come through, and I thought, well, it's not even the first of the month, and I thought, oh no, he's in Hong Kong. It is the first of the month. I thought, how cool is that, you know?
That's awesome.
He's right on time, you know, the very first day of the month, Hong Kong time. So you know, I kind of wish we could put everybody on Hong Kong time so we could get early. But we appreciate what everybody does. You know, it's just, it's so delightful. And it's, and yes, it is delightful to get the funds in, but it is even more delightful to know that you're a part of this and that I'm a part of you, that we are linked together on another level, not just a level of righteousness and holiness, but we're connecting on levels now with people that we've not even seen or heard around the world.
Exactly.
Because their hearts have been converted by the power of this gospel, and they see what we're doing, and they're saying, yes, I want to support this. And just like with Richard, I mean, Richard just every now and then keeps raising $25, you know, to his monthly contribution. And, you know, even when we fell out of complete communication, Richard was still supportive of this ministry. He didn't sit back and judge me, you know, for, you know, not being in contact with him. He knew that I was going through a very, very difficult time. And he just kept supporting, you know. It just it's just been amazing. But you know, we have come a long way, Glenn, and my goodness, the things that we have put behind us and the things that we have before us is so exciting. There's things that I've been able to put behind me in my life that I never dreamed I would be able to rise above. And but I have, and I know that it is the fundamental reason that I've been able to is this absolute security that I have in the gospel. And to have my heart to rise above some of these issues that I've had to deal with in my life and in my family, and then to wind up, you know, without it, something that absolutely knocked the breath out of me, to just a short time later, months later, to have no effect. It has no effect anymore. And it's like, where did that profound pain of that impact go? The situation hasn't changed. It's like, where did it go? But it is just the security that the gospel brings. You know, there's going to be things that happen in life that knock the breath out of you. But let me tell you something. I, by experience, know that the power of this gospel will pick you up and carry you along your way, that the power of this grace, without you putting an effort into it. Folks, I was ready to roll over and die.
Yeah,
I just didn't care, and Glenn knows the depth of that. There's nobody that's listening on, and you know, within my voice. I know that Richard knows, and you know, just a handful of people that knows the impact of the things that I'm talking about. But I and it still exists, but I don't suffer from it at all.
Well, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
And I don't even know how that, I didn't try. You've got to understand. I didn't start trying to pray. I didn't start trying to confess. I didn't start trying to rebuke. I didn't start trying to do anything. I rested totally with where I was. I was in pain, and I let the pain take place, and it rolled over my body. I knew fighting it would only make it worse. And here I stand on the other side of it without effort.
That's powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. This is Glenn Klein Online. We've recommended from time to time in my life coaching the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And his concept is what Michael's talking about, not specifically the gospel, but he says getting through that kind of suffering, whatever kind of suffering that you're involved in right now, you have to have something in your life bigger than yourself.
And
he was a victim of Auschwitz and the Nazis. And he knew his family was dead. But he noticed that something in the people that survived Auschwitz that didn't commit suicide, and the way you committed suicide back when you were in the concentration camp was just not get out of bed. Thank God that's not the standard for suicide today, because a lot of us wouldn't be alive right now. But he said that universally, he found that the people that were able to get up out of bed every morning, and it wasn't their time because they were not lined up in the gas chambers, they all had the same thing in common. They were living for something bigger than themselves. He calls it mental hygiene. What thing could you have, ladies and gentlemen, bigger than yourself than knowing that God loves you and all humanity unconditionally, and having a desire for everybody first in the church who is still bound up in legalism, and everybody in general to know, at the end of the day, the Creator of the universe loves them unconditionally, has made them righteous before His sight, and at the end of the day, we're all going to be at peace and are at peace with God, and are going to spend eternity in heaven, however that turns out. We want to encourage you. We've got a bunch of emails, but the phone line is available at 1-800-436-3260. It always takes somebody initially to pick up the phone. If you're listening live tonight on this Wednesday night, why don't you pick up the phone and call the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. Patrick Jones waiting to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. You'll notice on the GlennKleinOnline.com webpage, we've had some questions about this, a link for health for wealth. And the only thing I'd like to mention tonight is that you can go on that website to learn about more information if you're interested, and you can call this phone number to listen to a very brief conference call about it. That number is 641-715-3486, and the passcode is 105-1321. And we'd love to hear your feedback from that. You can just email me at Glenn Klein or coach@glennkleinonline.com. That phone number again is 641-715-3486, and the passcode to get in to listen to the information about Health for Wealth is 105-1321 pound. 105-1321 pound. So that will address some of your folks' questions about that tonight. To call us right now, 1-800-436-3260. Well, we've got a bunch of questions, Michael. Let's see if we can get through these in the next 25 minutes or so. Because the people have been nice enough to not only write in, but be patient over the last couple of weeks because we haven't gotten to all of them. And we're going to start out with Mary Ann's question from beautiful Regina, Saskatchewan. She says,
Regina.
First, she says, it's Regina?
Yes.
What are you laughing about, Michael?
You said it wrong. I got to correct you.
And I always remember that correction is not rejection.
That's right.
How come, Michael, you never come to Regina?
Well, I did. and I remember being in a church in Regina. I cannot tell you the name of it, but it was quite a Pentecostal church. And I was sharing, even back in those years, I can't remember how long ago that's been. And it's probably been, 12 to 14 years ago, my last trip to Regina.
How far is Regina from Calgary?
Regina is in Saskatchewan. So you're another province over, two provinces over. And, my friends in Canada will kill me for not knowing my Canadian geography. I think it's one province over in Saskatchewan. Then it is north. It would be further north than Calgary.
Well, here's the thing, Mary Ann, is you can have Michael come to Regina.
Absolutely.
And just click on the GospelRevolution.com webpage, click on Invite Mike, and bring him up there.
The Pentecostal church where I was isn't going to have me back.
And her question specifically is, Michael, are we human beings spiritual or are we human? And is this body just a vehicle? I want to say that you guys speak lots of the truth. So what are we, Michael? Are we physical or are we spiritual beings and with a body that's just a vehicle?
Well, of course, that will be a topic for discussion until it all gets separated and we look back at it. I believe we are human beings, but I think that what we have to accept is that we have to understand what the term human being comprises of. It's not an either or, are we human beings or are we spirit, because human being is spirit. And spirit is now human being, and even as it was in Christ, and so now is it in us also. So in being human being, we understand that there's at least three distinct parts to us that is spoken of in the scriptures anyway, and that is spirit, and then we have soul, which a lot of people then separate soul from heart. I do not. I believe that the soul and the heart are synonymous. And of course we have a physical body, no doubt about that part, and So the experience should be total. It's a complete experience, and I think that we do ourselves a disservice by trying to pick one. You know, what are we? You know, are we spirit beings having a human experience? No, we're human beings. And you can have a human experience and a spirit experience. It's all.
I love the comparison because the scripture says that we were created in the image of God. And
Absolutely.
As we understand it, God is also a tripartite being, if you will, being the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And we too are our body, soul, which involves our emotion and our mind and our intellect and our will. And spirit.
Absolutely.
And so I think that the only thing that's left here in Earth when we do pass away is our body, which decays. But, you know, ultimately, again, exactly how that comes to be doesn't change God's view of us. It doesn't really make a difference. It's interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
But I hope that helps, Marianne. And have Michael come up to Regina.
Until then, be a happy human.
Yeah, you beautiful human. All right, our next question comes from the UK. I love this. We've got a question from Canada, now England. This is from our friend Paul. He lives in Bournemouth. I'm probably not pronouncing that right. But
And I can't correct you because I don't know.
Bournemouth. Bournemouth. Maybe it's pronounced Bournemouth, on the south coast of England. And
beautiful.
And his question is, we know that we need to go to the Old Testament for truth, but how can we be sure that the scriptures today are the same that they were originally written thousands of years ago? How do we know that they have not been changed? And that's Paul from the UK.
Well, Paul, actually, we know they have been changed. And you'll never find a pure translation of even the scriptures. But the scriptures are so profoundly consistent that you can have man's faulty translations. And if you still keep your mind on the picture, on what the scriptures say, and the fact that they're all centered on Jesus, number one. There is no private interpretation to the scriptures. And yes, I do admit it is a faulty translation. It would be foolish for anybody to say that there was a translation that was faultless. But the covenant that we have is faultless.
But they do say there's a translation that's just as inerrant as the actual Bible itself, and that's a whole denominational issue called the King James Bible.
Yes, absolutely, and the King James is viewed as absolutely, totally without any fault at all in translation. They believe every thee and thou and everything else is inspired by God, and that's just foolishness, you know. Number one, they also believe that the New Testament writings are Scripture, and not even all of the Old Testament writings are Scripture. Jesus made it clear, and all of the apostles agreed that the Scriptures are the law, the five first books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, if you will, the first five books of the Bible, the Psalms, there's only one book of Psalms, and the prophets, the Kings, the Ruth, all of these, you know, they're wonderful books that you can glean a lot of things from, but it is not what is called Scripture. And that's what helps, number one, that's a huge step in keeping us focused on the reality of the fulfillment of Scripture. And again, I'm not saying that many of these books don't have tremendous inspiration in them, and I certainly study them just like I do the Scriptures, in fact. But that is, we just don't have a right to redefine out of the mouth of Jesus what he said was the scriptures and is also confirmed. You know, you might say, well, maybe that was mistranslated. But the fact of it is that we have all of the apostles agreeing that the scriptures are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets.
And as far as the accuracy is concerned, Paul, the uncovering and the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which have been dated back to the time of Christ, are passages from the Scriptures. And they are amazingly accurate in the ancient Hebrew to what we generally have today. And right. So at least from the time of Jesus, we know what they were studying, generally speaking. And, you know, Michael, you talk about books like the Book of Ruth and Lamentations and all that stuff. There's amazing truth to be gleaned out of those about Christ as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's types and there's foreshadowings. But we just want to be consistent, ladies and gentlemen. And the other thing, too, Michael, is there is gleanings and understandings and revelations that come from other sources other than the Bible. That,
absolutely.
I mean, I've got a quote here. We're going to be getting to this question momentarily. This writer who writes this email quotes Dr. Carl Jung, and who was a noted psychologist, and he says the real Christ is the God of freedom. Well, I mean, that's in the Bible, but that's a direct quote from Dr. Jung. And
yes.
I believe I'm pronouncing that properly. And since tonight is a night of mispronunciations, you never know. But, I mean, you can read stuff like that. You can see stuff in nature. You can see so many things, even the manifestation of the unity of humanity, of things like women's rights and gay rights and civil rights. These are manifestations
absolutely.
Of the gospel, even yeah. though it's not in the Bible.
And I believe that the birth of this country was a manifestation of the gospel. It was not a manifestation of Christianity, but it was a manifestation of the gospel. And this country is truly based on the principles of the gospel because it's based on freedom. But what evangelical Christians like Rod Parsley wants to do is to take this country and turn it into a Christian Taliban state. And that is not the gospel. Hating gay people and repressing women is not the gospel. It just is not the gospel.
Right, and to the degree that the formation of this country caused heinous pain to African people, to Native people, that was Christianity at work.
Yes, that was Christianity. That was Puritanism and Christianity in effect.
Wow.
But the freedom that was birthed in the heart of these men, yes, many of them were racist when they wrote these things, but the freedom that they believed in, thank God they got it captured, and their words of freedom. Then that's the thing about freedom. If you stand for freedom, that it will come out of you even though that you have views and opinions contrary to it. If you stand up for freedom, you're going to wind up disagreeing with yourself. And Thomas Jefferson's writings are so powerful, and yet people have pointed out, but he had slaves, you know. Yes, he did. And even though he was influenced by the culture of his day, and it was totally wrong, but still he spoke words of freedom that eventually were the same words that led to the freedom of the slaves.
Exactly. And we hear things that President Bush talks about right now, talking about freedom and democracy, and yet obviously behaving in certain ways and instituting certain policies that do not encourage that, the end result will be freedom eventually.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have no doubt that, that freedom, even in the Muslim world, even in the Middle East, is going to triumph eventually. And even though we may embrace or promote policies and things that kill people, when there's freedom, it's going to have its way, Michael. I mean, the gospel was for freedom that Christ set us free.
Yes, absolutely. And even in our misguided pursuits, freedom will still win.
Yes.
Even in the misguided pursuits of the witch hunts of Salem.
Yes.
Freedom prevailed.
Yep.
Even spiritualizing it every way they could, finally it was exposed for what it was. And you can list it. No matter how much we defended slavery, no matter how much Christianity stood for slavery, Christianity stood for slavery, no matter how much they did, still freedom was established. And my God, the one line that has saved us is in the preamble of our Constitution. We believe that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. Now, we didn't. Now, the people who wrote that meant Anglo-Saxon white property owner men. But the fact of it is, they said it right. And that statement has threaded through our history and freed women. It has freed freed the slaves. It has brought equality to degrees that the world has never known, never, ever, ever known. And even to the point to where and people say, well, will we ever know when a time when in this country that gays are not treated the way that they are and banished from our military? And the strongest, and here the Christians stand for everything that Israel does, and yet Israel has the most profound military that anybody knows of on planet Earth, and certainly the most precision guided. I mean, they don't fool around. I mean, when they do something.
And one thing's for sure, they are under the most stress of any country.
Oh, absolutely. They're completely surrounded.
Yeah.
And yet here, their military is not encumbered. Here, you know, all of these, the Family Guy, what's his name, Dobson, and all these people trying to frighten people to death that if we have, accept people as equals in the gay community, that it's going to destroy our whole country, and that if they're in our military, our military is going to fall apart. Well, the very same people out of the other side of their mouth talk about Israel doing it so grand and so perfectly. Why don't we take an example? They don't discriminate in the military against gay people. And the shame is that Bush is standing up saying we are the bearers of this banner of freedom, and there's other countries around the world right now that are bearing that banner more than we are.
Well, and the thing is that once you, when freedom enters in, even if it is mixed in with other thoughts and like slavery, or like discriminating against women or gay people or whatever, freedom will win out eventually. And thank
absolutely.
And
when people ask me about the gay rights issue, is it ever going to be? Yes. Just be patient, but do all that you can within your own realm of influence to stop this bigotry. The gay community has its problems just like the quote the straight community does. And there's pedophiles everywhere, but it doesn't mean one is necessarily of a heterosexual or homosexual gender. Pedophilia is a totally different thing altogether.
Right.
Has nothing to do with adult gender orientation, sexual orientation. And but yes, we will. We absolutely will. Canada, to our north, now, it's legal to get married. And it's like, okay, so where... we've threatened, everybody from the church has threatened everybody that our whole nation will fall apart. Well, Canada hasn't disintegrated and fallen down to America,
I think the Netherlands are okay still. And
yeah, their dollar's now stronger than ours, so maybe gay marriage helps.
<In Canada. laughs> Well, it's at least equal with ours. Well, since we're talking about the gay issue, and this is, of course, an ongoing question, but here's a fellow that lives right here in Brandon, Florida, where our studios are, just outside Tampa. And this is from Rob, Michael. He says, my question is, how does the Lord view gay people? Should gay people try to live straight? And are we still an abomination in the Lord's eyes, even after Christ's sacrifice? And that's from Rob, and he says, thank you.
Oh, my. Well, of course, I hear that coming from a heart desperate to know the truth about that. And I hope what we've said up until now has already addressed that, obviously. And, and women are no longer unclean in God's eyes when they are having their menstrual cycle. It is not an unclean thing in God's eyes to eat shellfish. It is not, you're not unrighteous in God's eyes on any level, because there is no law now to count that against you at all. And homosexuality, a lot of the things that were declared to be against God's law were simply human function. And one of the things that makes me know that homosexuality is absolutely normal is that it was condemned. Because God condemned that which was normal for humans.
God condemned.
Even murder is normal for humans. It's not a good thing, but this is all part of human behavior. But what we've got to decide is what part of human behavior is destructive to each other. And a homosexual person is not destructive to his community. It's not destructive to himself. It's the self-loathing and hatred that the church has put on the gay people, the homosexual, transgender, and lesbian community. It has placed this on them. And until, you know, Glenn, one of the greatest pieces of statistics I've heard in years is that for the first time in the last 2 years, the suicide rate among teens has dropped. Because the suicide rate among teen gays has dropped. That is profound.
Good stuff.
It is profound. It is good. It means we're moving forward. It means people aren't having to kill themselves because they feel like social outcast. And this burden has been put on by the likes of Rod Parsley, and who is raging right now against the gay community in the name of God, in the name of the Jesus who has redeemed them.
You know what that
means? The name of Jesus to condemn.
You know what that means? Probably.
Well, it certainly has been true in many cases.
Rod's probably dealing with at least some thoughts.
People have had thoughts, you know, and the thing of it is that if you're not free, you don't know whether those thoughts are used just because it's a thought, you know.
Thoughts are out there, ladies
and
gentlemen.
And then they start fighting it like it's the devil, and it becomes a devil to you.
Yeah, and to see Senator Larry Craig for a perfect example of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Or
Ted Haggard.
Ted Haggard, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that you need to know from our experience, and Michael and I both have profound experiences in the evangelical community, you can almost be guaranteed when somebody is preaching hard against something, whether it be sex, drugs, rock and roll, they're fighting that in their own mind. That's what we have
Absolutely.
Found to be generally true. We just got
Absolutely.
This email right now, Michael, from John in Oklahoma, that wants to remind us that this country was set up on Masonic principles, speaking of Masonic.
Yes.
Which John says, he says Masons are for freedom for all. By mostly Freemasons, this country was set up, he said. And he says, check it up in the history. And we know this is true. We know there's Masonic symbols in our in our currency and on it goes. And John says he's a Mason, and he doesn't find it a strictly Christian organization. He says, but probably the majority of members in this country are Christian, which, John, not only thanks for sharing that, but we have absolutely no problem with Masons or with belonging to a country club or doing anything else that you enjoy and that you find profitable in your own life. Although Masonry, Michael, of course, has been one of those things that has been condemned by the evangelical Christian church.
Isn't that amazing? Laying bricks has been condemned by the church.
Like everything else. All right.
Really?
This came in from Chip. This is the gentleman that quoted Carl Jung before. He says he was listening to the archive webcast from September 19th, where Ron, if you remember, Michael, from the West Coast, was talking about the suicidal thoughts that were bombarding him in the Depression. And he said that he's battled depression, Chip has, for almost 22 years because it runs in his family as well. And he said he's tried numerous medications which did not work until...
Oh, no.
Until he started a particular medication that he mentions here in his email, which I'm not going to mention because obviously we have no idea. We're not doctors. But, Ron, if you're listening, and we hope you are, whether it be live or on the webcast, if you will contact us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and you want this information, I will put you in touch with Chip. And he says that this particular medication that he went on was recommended to him about being able to get people out of the deepest depression and this medication, he says, has worked for him. So here's, excuse me, Michael, a fellow who also has suffered from deep depression, and he's just reaching out to Ron on the West Coast saying, you know, there's some hope for you, Ron. And if you're interested, Ron, just email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and we'll get you in touch with Chip. And Chip, thanks for sharing that as well. This next email, Michael, comes in from Clovis, New Mexico, from Don. He says, I've enjoyed your biblical writings, Michael. I have heard your analysis of various parts of Romans, but don't recall hearing an analysis of Romans 2, where Paul appears to be speaking of a future judgment in verse 16 and based on our deeds in verse 6. What is your current take on what he speaks about and what it will consist of, given that I have understood you to believe that all judging took place at the cross?
Yes, Paul not only spoke of it there, but also he spoke about the judgment seat of Christ later on in Romans, I believe. That's in Corinthians. And but if you read that in context, you find out that up until that point, Paul is addressing those who are still stuck under the law. And the amazing thing is that right after you read those verses, I don't have my Bible here with me, but I have taught on that extensively all the way through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right straight through. And we are looking forward. I'm wanting to do more books like the teachings that we've done on the book of Galatians, and everybody's really waiting on those. But if you look at that, Paul is telling them about their mindset, and he's addressing what they believe, and that this is the way it is under the law, just as he says in the very first part of it. You know, people talk about, well, God will give you over to a reprobate mind. Well, that's not true, because in Romans chapter 1 it says God gave them over to reprobate mind. He's talking about the old covenant. He's talking about under the law, that these things. And as it says, as God, as even as they did not like to retain God in their minds. And this is all the effects of the law in these people's life, that these people become implacable. They become, all this list there that's in Romans chapter 1. And these are not the the qualities of a bad Christian. They're the qualities of good legalist. And as he goes on, he's bringing them to the conclusion of the end of their thinking of this judgment that is coming. And he is, as he goes on into Romans, of course, and then leads us to that great revelation then by the time we get chapter 5. Of course, chapter 3 clears up chapter 2, and so on. And then, of course, the magnificent revelation that Paul gave us in chapter 5, that that as many as became sinners because of one man's disobedience, that by Christ, that the entire world has also become made righteous by the deeds of one man, the last Adam.
Right, and that he was referencing the sin of Adam, and then, of course, the righteousness of Christ.
Right, which that was what the judgment was coming for, was because of the sin of Adam, not because of the sins of breaking the law. And so that judgment did come, and it came at the cross. And that's what Paul was trying to lead them to, but he was having to deal with their mindset and reveal to them the full impact of the law before that these people, the Romans, would understand.
Exactly. And finally, we have this message from the aforementioned birthday boy, Richard Mull. He says, thank you, Glenn and Michael, for the birthday wishes, and thank you for reminding me that at the tender age of 42 that I am a solid 42. He says, or could that be my waist size? My waist size. And he says, he's still going strong, and he says, you're doing a fantastic job, and we in Southern California love you, and we'll continue to support the gospel as long as we have income.
Yes, so, we are very confident of that.
And that's, he says, bless you all. Always in Christ, Richard Mull, in beautiful but expensive Southern California.
Yes.
Thanks, Richard. We appreciate hearing from you, as always. And we appreciate hearing from everybody that emailed tonight. And I am off to the Great North, Michael, tomorrow to Wisconsin. And that's where I'll be coming to all of you beautiful humans live next Wednesday night. You going to be in Houston next week, Michael?
Yes, I will be.
All right. So we want to hear from you during the course of the week. If you listen to the webcast on the archives, feel free at all times to fire off an email to us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And again, if you have questions about the Health for Wealth, feel free to email me. It's just at the glennkleinonline.com website. And you can also, as I said earlier, listen to a very brief conference call about the information at area code 641-715-3486. At 641-715-3486, the passcode is 105-1321 pound. 105-1321 pound. We want to thank Patrick L. Jones for engineering and producing this particular effort. Michael, have a pleasant rest of your week, and we will talk to you.
You too, Glenn.
And enjoy your new office space.
Thank you very much. I am enjoying it very much.
And get those CDs and DVDs out.
We are cranking.
Yeah, and hey, folks, don't forget to visit the gospelrevolution.com website for updates on all of Michael's meetings, and click on the Champions of Grace information. It's pretty self-explanatory, but always feel free to email us here with any questions or comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Until we speak next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!